Next, for the scripture reading, we'll read together from Psalms 16. Psalm 16, beginning at verse 1, Miktam of David, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Congregation, the text of the sermon this morning, before we attend to the Lord's Supper, will be the first part of the fifth verse. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. In the first place, it points to the inheritance of the Levites or the priests. And the inheritance of the priest are the cities of refuge. And they got 10% of the income of the temple to sustain them. So the first thought is, it's the inheritance of the priest. That's the city of refuge. And then we look into the city of refuge, which is a symbol of Christ. There are not only the priests and his families and their families, but there are sinners in it. And we look to the special things of the sinners in the city of refuge. Now let's say this immediately, that are special sinners. They sin against their will, and they have sinned against their will. Children of God are sinners, but they sin against their will. They serve with the flesh, sin, the law, into condemnation. But with the heart, the law of Christ, love. And we'll see these things this morning when we minister out of thy word, out of his word. Two thoughts again. It's the inheritance of the priests. And we look to the people who dwell in the city of refuge, which we can call also the city of grace. For the Lord is their inheritance. And we'll see how it is. The congregation, when Psalm 16, by the Spirit of God, says in verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. It points back to Numbers 18, verse 20. And the Lord said to Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. They divided Canaan. And every tribe, 2.5 tribe across the Jordan, and the others on this side of the Jordan, they got their peace to work, to be fruitful, to build their houses, to sustain their lives. But the tribe of Levi didn't get a piece of land. The Lord said to them, I am thy inheritance. And if you read carefully in Numbers 18, you see that 10% of the tithes which belonged to God were given to the priests and the Levites. But that not only. They got cities of refuge after the Babylonian captivity, less, but before more. Spread all over the country. And you might know where it was for. There was unintended murder. But murder is murder. So they were guilty of the wrath of God. And God gave a city of refuge. But listen, they were guilty unintended. If it was intended, they had to be punished with death penalty. But unintended. And the moment it happened, they were fleeing. You never flee if you don't know what's unintended sin. You sin and you don't want to sin. You repent. You say, I should never have done it. And I did it. And then a moment, you don't say farewell to your family because the wrath of God is behind your back. And you run. Like Christian in Bunyan's Journey of the Christian. You run by yourself. You don't look to others. But wonderfully in those days, the whole country and every corner, every crossing was a sign. A sign to the city of refuge, near to you. All over the country were signs. There, the city of refuge. The land was a gospel land for those who were running for their lives, for the wrath of God. But my dear congregation, in running they were not saved. Some people say today, in desiring you're saved. They were not. In running you're not saved, but in coming you're saved. Not knowing the way, but coming in the city of refuge. And you know that around the city of refuge was a circle of 1 kilometer. That's a Sabbath journey. 1 kilometer is a Sabbath journey. And when there was a tree on the outside of that circle around the city of refuge, if you were under the shade of that tree, you were free. But then you had to be tried and proved. The people came and say, tell me what happened. And they had, and you had to show and prove that it was unintended sin. And if they found out that it was intention, you had to die anyways. So in that city, my dear congregation, lived the priest and his family, the Levites and the priests. It's pointing to the Lord Jesus, but I come later to it. And the Lord had said to Aaron, I am your inheritance. Do you know where they lived off? Not working on the land. No. Not shuffling. No. Not working in a factory. No, no, no. They lived of grace. They lived, and therefore the Lord said, I am your inheritance. Do you know where they lived of? Of the right shoulder of an animal that was sacrificed. It was for the priest. Let's say this, congregation. They lived of the sacrifice of Christ. Without works. The right shoulder was theirs. And the right shoulder is the symbol of strength where Christ carries his people. They lived of the sacrifice. And not only they, the priests, but congregation also, those who joined the priesthood or the priests in the city of grace, the sinners who didn't want to sin. May I ask you, the Bible says that Christians are a kingly priesthood. Do you live from the sacrifice without works? From the finished work of the high priest, which became a lamb, who sacrificed himself once. The signs are on the table. Wine and bread. You're not expected to come here with works, because all your works are evil works. When the Lord said to Aaron, I am thine inheritance. I am thine inheritance. It's sovereign grace. It's free grace. It's grace alone. You live from the temple, from God, from Christ. You're not expected to come to the Lord's table with your works or attitude. With your good behavior. But there's a fleeing sinner from the wrath of God into the city of refuge. But listen, fleeing is not enough. Coming to know him is needful. If you find rest behind the gates of righteousness. And you know that in the past, those fleeing sinners had to stay there till the time the high priest died. When the high priest passed away or died, then they got free. They got a freedom back and could go home to a better land, the heavenly heritage. What are you saying? It's a symbol, it's a type. And my dear congregation, I thought about it this night and prayed about it. And all those types are fulfilled. Christ passed, died. And God's people, fleeing sinners, are free. To go home. God's people, who felt in their lives the wrath of God, And not only the wrath of God. They got guilty and cried about their sins. Their sins are, they are sinning against their will. We spoke last week, Sunday night, about the evangelical repentance. And evangelical repentance, my dear friends, is having grace and sinning against your will. And what you hate, you do. Are they here? Sinning against their will because of grace. Lamenting about their sins and of their families. Are there crying sinners here? Fleeing the wrath of God and have sinned against their will. That's what Paul says. It's a fruit of grace. The good I do, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do the good I would like to. But what I hate, I do. They are living in the city of refuge, such sinners. They are living in Christ. You will wipe away your tears. Or probably this week in preparation, you said to yourself, I am not prepared to come. Sins of me and my family, myself, are testifying against me. I would like my family to be better and holy. It isn't. You know, there's only place in the city of refuge for such sinners. Fleeing and crying. For mercy's sake. Eaten from the sacrifice of Christ. As a ransom for their sins. Oh, they regret what they did. But can turn the tables. They regret what they do. But can change their lives. Therefore they flee. Some have made the distinction between assurance of faith and a fleeing or refuge taken faith. And some have made the distinction between a fleeing or refuge taken faith as a saving faith. And the well-being of faith would be the forgiveness of sins. So you might have a refuge taken faith. And then the well-being of faith should be the forgiveness of sins. Or faith in Christ. Communion with Him. But my dear congregation, I think in the scripture it's different. Faith in exercise. What I'm saying, listen. Faith in exercise is always refuge taken. Taking. It's fleeing out of yourself. In exercise. But that's the same faith. And in exercise, it's exercised. You know what's preparation for the Lord's Supper? Fleeing out of yourself. If you're a child of God. Fleeing. By a given exercise. Of a given faith. Dave. regretting and remorsing, coming with tears. And Pastor, what you're saying, you make marks. And I have not enough of those marks. I'm not saying you should have a bowl of tears, but a heart that cries. Probably not your eyes, but your heart. Is it someone here who promised to be holy, never to sin again? Have you ever promised? I know you did. And how ends it? You know, a faith in exercise is sheltering in the city of grace, which is Christ. With all your sins, all your shortcomings, living from the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. I for you, my body, my blood to wash you, and I washed you, and it's the same blood today, and my body, that's my righteousness, that can only cover you, nothing more and nothing less. But Pastor, you're not allowed to go to the Lord's Supper if there's something wrong in your family or you have some fight. Yeah, that's right. I said last Sunday night that if the Spirit lives in you, you have a different attitude. Compassion. You're not better than your children. Although you have to warn them against sin. You're not better than your friends. It's like that old minister in the Netherlands. He preached, a friend of Dominic Kersten, Dominic Zandt. And when he spoke to the parliament, everyone left the room. He was sharp. But the communist state, one of the communist state, Urban Wagoner. It's a communist party then. And Wagoner was sitting in front and listening to Dominic Zandt. And when Zandt had said his words, he went down from the cathedral, from the pulpit, let's say, and he sat next to Wagoner and he put his hand around his shoulder. He said, "Wagoner, you're a communist and I'm a sinner too." He said, "But do you know what's the difference? I got grace. And that grace is there still." And Wagoner smiled. So Reverend Sand was never better than Gerben Wagoner, the communist. No. But he got grace. Covering his sins. Eating from the sacrifice. I am the portion. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance congregation. The Lord himself. And now I go higher. You know, Psalm 16 is used by the Apostle Peter for the resurrection. Especially in some of the last verses. "For thou won't leave, or thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." This psalm is especially a psalm of Christ. Thou art my inheritance. "And my goodness extend not to thee, but to the saints." They have to sacrifice the high priest which dwell on earth. That's my duty. It's my love. "For thy sake, sure." The lines are falling in unto me in a pleasant place. I have a goodly heritage. That's how he looks to his people after his sacrifice. And if you look to the last portion of this psalm, you know, God was his inheritance. My father. God's people might eat from his sacrifice, but he sacrificed himself. And he paid the price. How do you know? Well, Peter says, and you see it in this psalm, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He went down with my sin, says Paul. And he paid the price. And when he had paid the price, death cannot hold him, couldn't hold him. He arose again. The Holy One wouldn't suffer corruption. And not only for himself, for his people. God doesn't see any corruption in his people. Although they see it on every corner. In Christ, he doesn't see any corruption in his people. The Lord's Supper, therefore, is not in the first place for yourself, people of God. It's for his sake. Do it in remembrance of me, that I paid the price which you couldn't. That I suffered the wrath which you can't. That I covered you with my righteousness, the broken body, that you might stand without corruption before God. Oh, my dear congregation, the Lord is my portion. Is there a man or a woman, child of God, who draws near this morning to the table and said, I have nothing more. The Lord is my portion, my inheritance. It's a sovereign gift. He is, but I am not. My portion, the portion of mine inheritance, he, thou maintainest my lot, never forsakes me, never leaves me. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou art my cup, the cup of my salvation. To lift up the cup of salvation this morning. Do you know, that's exercise of faith. You have to deny everything of yourself. That's a gift. To gain everything of him, the good shepherd, who gave his life for ruined and lost sheep. Oh, my dear congregation, is this what's in your heart? The Lord is the portion. I don't need land. I don't need work. I don't need money. Oh, he maintains it. But I need him to be my all. In all. For nothing. In nothing. Congregation. Psalm 16, the Lord is my portion, the portion of my free given inheritance, the city of refuge for weeping sinners, to be comforted with the blood in the body of Christ. Nothing more. He obeyed the law and I didn't. He paid the penalty, which I couldn't. Oh, children of God, that this morning the voice of Him might be in your heart. And answering it saying, He is the portion. All I have of mine given inheritance. Christ alone. Amen. Congregation, let's read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23-29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. That we now may celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it's above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposed henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and does firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His Word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those that are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, all those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, warmongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dear beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the Lord's supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ. You have it outside of yourself in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves. It's namely that we don't have a perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, that's evangelical repentance, sorrowful, and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will, they have to say, against our will, in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of His heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted His supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now, after this manner also, we are to remember Him by it first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, and that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself into the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with the death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many. For the remission of sins, this do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of his bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you. Whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Lord's, of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered at the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, where he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Beside that, we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread is baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixes itself together. Also, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed his in word, but also in the very deed toward one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain this all, let us humble ourselves before God with a true phrase, implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with a true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may no doubt but thou wilt be forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well as for the body as the soul. And thy beloved children, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also that thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. O Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic adopted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Are there here who say, I have nothing than the Lord to be my portion, my goodly inheritance? I, as a sinner, can only be satisfied in his sacrifice. Come and eat and drink. The bread which we have broken, and he has broken. Take and eat. Remember that he broke his body to a full satisfaction for all your sins, and cover you with all his righteousness. Is not the Lord your portion? Nothing more, nothing less. The cup of thanksgiving. We bless. Take it and drink, and believe that he poured out his blood for a full satisfaction. For a full satisfaction for all your sins. I read in the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And afterward he did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in the blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire for us, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My dear friends, for unto us a child is given, all Godhead. All the fatherhood he gave, his only beloved Son. God want to be redeeming your sins, setting you free from oppression, having your tears washed from your cheek. He gave his Son to be made man, to be what we couldn't be, to do what we didn't do, although we promised to pay what we couldn't pay. All grace rests in divine payment. And I know, dear friend, your last dime has to be gone out of your pocket. And all that rot that struck you, listen, it's broken upon his body, that it shouldn't strike you anymore. He was pursued and chased out of the city of Jerusalem, that you would enter once in the city of peace. When he says, come in, ye beloved bride, you're mine. I got you from my Father. I washed you with my blood. I covered you with my clothes. I was set aside that you might be near. For unto us a child is born, a son given. Born and given. Not only born, but also given, isn't he? Is he given to you? Did you receive him by faith? And what gives, what God gives, my dear, he never wants back. He said to Zacchaeus, I will stay with you and never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know why this Lord's Supper is here? To remember him and the Father through the Spirit. Those who walk in darkness, the light is shining. But that light doesn't come from the earth. It's coming from heaven as the bright morning star. Before the whole day comes and the new day will be there. You know, the Lord's Supper is always something as a pre-taste from the everlasting Supper of the Lamb. And if this taste is so humbling, so loving, so caring, what will be that feast of the Lamb? We can speak about it. Just feel it. Therefore, the old people said, Sursum corda, your head should be in heaven, in your heart, where Christ is. Oh, my dear congregation, I know that you are sitting there. When will the day come that by a gift of God, by a true faith, you might come and Christ has shone upon you with his life and light, with his righteousness and peace? I know it's a gift. But that gift is to be given to beggars of nothing than shame and sin. To cover them with that cloth of righteousness, where the brim goes to the neck and it covers the feet. I am covered by his coverings alone. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone says in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, as the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therefore his love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death, the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and my heart show praise to the Lord. For this time and for evermore. Let us pray with thanksgiving. O Almighty God and Father, We render the most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinitive mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator, a sacrifice for our sins, to be our meat and drink into life eternal, and that thou givest this lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain this holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant us, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. O Lord, how good it is that we are remembered, we are forgetful, that thou did present it time and again in the Word and in this sacrament, that thou hast loved us with an eternal love. Never dealing with us according to our sins. Yea, that thou gave thy only one to be a sacrifice, to justify thy righteousness, to be the righteousness for thy people. Oh, dear Lord, what a peace, what a rest, what a humbling grace, what a love, what a majesty. What will be heaven, Lord, when we never have to go home in this world again, when we will be home forever and ever. We pray that thou mightest have given thee those who don't know thee to know thee. Remember those who are sick, sitting at the table might be the last time and the beginning of anew. Remember the afflicted when they leave this table of peace, enter the strife again. Lord, uphold them, keep them, protect them. Have mercy upon us. In daily strife, thou hast fought a battle and won, and thou art sharing the spoil with thy people. And that spoil is everlasting life, everlasting presence of thee. Oh, we pray that that foretaste might give us a hunger and a thirst, a homesickness for thee, hating sin, leaving the things of the world. Not that we shouldn't do our tasks, but that our main purpose might be thee. For thou art the inheritance, thyself, of thy people. Remember us in mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.